Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. We hear very often that you have to fall in love with the journey. You have to fall in love with the process. And it's something that it may sound really annoying at the time, but you know you have to do it in order to achieve the success that you want to achieve. So there's actually this thing, the 1% rule. We're going to talk about it during this episode that can help you not just fall in love with the process, but also achieve your wildest dreams. That is the focus of this episode. And today's guest who's going to talk with us about this is a writer, speaker, coach, and host of the Resist Average Academy, a top-rated iTunes podcast designed to give you the knowledge, inspiration, and action steps to live a life by design, never by default. He lives for the moment someone gets the spark of what's possible, and then crafting a plan to bring that vision to life through his mastermind groups, podcasts, books, courses, and more. Today's guest for episode 267 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Tommy Baker. Tommy, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, what an intro, and love the energy and very excited to connect and showcase some value. And I love what you're doing.
Tommy, it is really awesome to have you on the show. Thank you I'm really just looking forward to it. I'm very appreciative of you being on the show. And the 1% rule, I feel like is something that is so important, but you may not know exactly what we're talking about. So if you're in that spot, Tommy, can you just give us a little bit about what exactly the 1% rule is and why you wrote your book?
100%, man. So I wrote the book for a simple reason. I noticed that in the entrepreneurship community, there wasn't a lack of ambition. There wasn't a lack of dreamers. There wasn't a lack of big ideas, but there was a lack of execution. There was a lack of focus. There was a lack of sticking with something long enough to, you know, reap the rewards of that vision. And so I wanted to find a way to take the pressure off. And in working with so many clients and helping so many people, I recognize that, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves every single day to have this massive business breakthrough today. And instead I said, you know what, why don't we find a way to reverse engineer that process by doing the simplest possible thing that actually moves us forward. And when that happens, we actually create momentum. And if we do that long enough, day by day, incremental growth turns to exponential growth. And that's the beautiful part of the 1% rule, is we get to move forward every single day. And then if we stick with it long enough, we build momentum, which is much more powerful than motivation. And then ultimately that momentum takes over and creates exponential growth. And so just the math alone, if we just move 1% forward every single day across the course of a year, incrementally, that's 3.65 times better. And so, I don't know, I would take a almost 4x increase in my physicality and my income and all of these things across the course of a year. But if we take in the exponential growth curve, it's possible for us to get 37x rate of return. And so I've never been a finance guy, but if you showed me an investment that I could go anywhere between 3.6x and 37x, I'd be all in. And that's the power of the 1% rule.
And I'm a big fan of the 1% rule. I actually use that because I'm actually a little bit more into the financials. I'm an investor. So like, if you like, I've done the math for this kind of stuff. You take like X amount of dollars, you like gain 1% each day. I know how to do that kind of math. And you get to some like really astronomical numbers. But it's not like you can always like in like the stock market, for instance, but like you can't always get like a 1% increase every single day. So like I know it's different when we're measuring performance. It's not like we could say this. I'm using stocks in this example. Like it's not like we say this stock went up by so and so, went up by 1%. It's a little harder to track when we're just thinking about our goals. So how exactly can we track the 1% rule getting applied to our lives?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really powerful concept. And I wanted to give people a tool that could, to bring that concept to life and actually become a daily practice, much like you said. And so, yeah, it can be difficult. But what we do is we just reverse engineer the process. So I start people on creating, you know, a 1 year, really, really specific, really powerful 1 year vision. And once we have that 1 year vision, I reverse engineer and I say, okay, awesome. So this is what you're committed to creating in, 2018, 2019. Awesome. Let's take that and put it down to the first 90 days. So what would have to happen in the next 90 days that would, that you could look at and say, not only is my vision possible, but it's actually coming true. And so we take those metrics and then we say, okay, let's break those down. So 90 days is 12 weeks. So we're going to take those 12 weeks and we're going to break it down to the first week. And we have the first week objectives. And I say, great, we're going to break it down more. And so you can see this process. What we're doing is finding the simplest common action step that we can take in our business, in our career, in our content, whatever it may be, and ensuring that it's right in front of us. Because as entrepreneurs, guess what? We love complexity. We love putting all of these things in front of us. And the more complex, the better. This is the complete opposite. It says, hey, what's that one thing that you can do every single day for the next quarter? And you're going to focus on it every single day before you do anything, like not even check email, not do any of that. This is your core action step. And once we identify that, then that's when the power of the 1% rule starts to come into play. And there's nothing more motivating than seeing progress in our lives. I read in the book, like you can watch all the videos, all of this stuff, but there's nothing more powerful than as an entrepreneur, getting those sales, getting those clients, getting those leads, getting people to share your content. And that's what the 1% rule is about, reverse engineering that process and moving 1%. And people are like, Tommy, 1% is nothing. And I say, one is greater than zero. And if you keep moving forward, then that becomes a snowball effect. And that's really the ethos of the 1% rule. Give people their power back. Stop being obsessed with, there's this whole, there's this powerful quote in goal setting, which is like, set the vision and then forget it. Why? Because if we always thinking about that big vision every single day, we get overwhelmed because there's a gap. I'm here and the vision is over there. And then we get stuck in the how and then paralysis analysis. And then I'm going to compare myself to someone else. Screw that. Let's take our power back and move forward just a little bit.
And one of the things that I really like that you mentioned is that, like, yes, like personal development is very important. I just talked to someone like in the previous episode about like he spent almost $1 million on his personal development. So it's really important. But seeing that progress in yourself, seeing the sales come in, I mean, just as a personal example, as we're recording like podcast dominations and pre-order, you can actually get your copy. It'll be out by the time this interview is published, markbirdie.com/PD for anyone interested. But when I was getting the first initial pre-order sales, it was the first pre-order that I ever did. And when you see that kind of positive momentum, it gets you thinking, okay, how can I build up on this number? How can I build up on this result? So Tommy made a very great point in that, there's personal development, which is important, but seeing the actual results happening to you is such a big difference for your success and your ability to take massive action.
And Mark, and here's the key though. People say, well, how often do I have to move 1% forward every day? How often do I have to move 1% forward? And I say, well, every day that ends in a Y. And that includes Sundays and holidays and hell, even your birthday and it's that consistency, right? And that consistency pays off. And I talk to so many people who want to launch podcasts. I talk to so many people who want to write books. I talk to so many people who have a message that they're dying to share with the world, yet they have no consistency. And so they launch and they get excited and they get hyped up. And then, three weeks, 3 months go by, and then you ask them, hey, how, what happened to that thing? And they're like, oh yeah, that thing. Yeah. And then they'll insert some type of excuse. And every time that we do that, we lose our belief that we can actually last and make something possible. And I didn't learn this from seminars or any of that stuff. I learned this from making those same mistakes, getting really excited about launching something, yet 6 months later having nothing to show for it and feeling worse about myself. And so it's all about getting your power back and giving people a tool that's practical that you can use every day. And in the book, we break down the process and how to identify what your 1% rule is and all that stuff.
And you mentioned something really important, because like when you see, like, let's say someone becoming a best-selling author, someone making like six figures, a seven-figure launch, I mean, we hear about these kinds of stories. Case studies are posted all the time. You look at the case study, you're like, oh my goodness, I have to do this. And you get hyped up. You're talking about how are you going to do it, but then nothing happens. As Tommy pointed out, like, he would be really excited about this one thing, and then 6 months later, nothing to show for it. So it's not just a matter of having the excitement, being hyped up. It's also a matter of actually doing it each and every day, where you don't get to that seven-figure launch or six-figure launch in a month. It's like a lot of days, weeks of like putting in the work that people don't necessarily see, and then you look like an overnight success. So with that in mind, how can we stay focused and committed to embracing the 1% rule for our core activity?
Well, the biggest thing, and this is another thing of going to so many events and speaking to so many entrepreneurs, is just a lack of ruthless focus. And so often we set these we set these goals and we try to rely on our self-discipline. And for most people, their discipline just isn't, they haven't crafted it to a place where it becomes non-negotiable. And so one of the biggest things with goal setting and outcomes and stuff like that for me is I look to find the leverage points. Like, what, how can I set myself up? What is the easiest way that I can set myself up for this to actually become a success? And so I'll just give you a simple example. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs work from home. Now, I think it's great. I think it's powerful. I can work from home. There's millionaires that work from home, billionaires probably. But our home is not the most powerful environment to be productive and create a lot of intentional and powerful work. It just isn't. It just, it's brain chemistry. You know, you're unless you have an office that's totally enclosed, there's parts of your home that remind you of hanging out and watching Netflix. There's part of your home that reminds you of eating and all of that stuff. And so what I teach people, and this is just a simple example of working from home, but put yourself in environments that you have no option but to follow through. So you're not relying on discipline or willpower. You simply don't have the option. So what does this look like practically? So one of my goals every single day, one of my committed targets every single day, is 1,000 words of writing. Doesn't matter if it's raining, thunderstorm, if I'm sick, pet died, family emergency, I am going to get 1,000 words of writing. And so I don't rely on discipline and willpower to make that happen. What I do is that I come to my co-working space here and I take my phone and it's on airplane mode and I put it in a backpack. And then I take that backpack and I'll walk it to my car. And then I lock the door and then I come in through the door and then I sit down and I have my laptop right in front of me and it's disconnected from the internet. So I have created every non-negotiable environmental cue to trigger me that to make sure that those 1,000 words, which was part of my 1% rule in terms of writing, actually get done. And so doesn't matter if I have caffeine or don't, doesn't matter if, you know, like I said, all the stuff that's going on in life or business or politics, it doesn't matter. I am going to get it done. And that's what I tell people. Use environments as leverage to make sure that you're not relying on willpower. It's could be if you know, if you're training your physicality, you know, like put money on the line and hire a trainer so you actually have to show up and make sure that there's, you're either going to show up or you're going to lose $100. And that's the easiest way to stay focused long term.
And I mean, writing without the Wi-Fi is a really great writing hack. It's something that I don't always do, but when I do it, it's something that really reinvigorates the productivity I have as a writer. So it's something that I'm going to definitely be doing a lot more often when I write content like after this interview. And one of the things that I like, I mean, you also mentioned the home environment. Like, I'm doing this interview in a very secluded area in my house. Like, no one really comes in this area. So that can be one of the options, but
Works. Yeah. And that definitely works if you are intentional about it. But what I find is so many people, they aren't intentional and they're like, I'm still going to get stuff done. And it's like,
not as much.
Dude, like, your couch is right there. You got the fridge right there. You got people coming in and out. Like, you're not going to get, you know, like, some people experience success in spite of those environments. And I've worked with entrepreneurs that we shifted their environment. Not anything crazy. Three times a week, they would leave their home office, 3x their revenue. So it's something to try, something to think about.
And it could be something as simple as going to a bookstore or a local Starbucks. It doesn't have to be like paying $1,000 a month in rent for an office building or anything like that.
Exactly.
And one of the things that, I mean, we're talking about environment, and part of that environment is like the people who are in that environment. And in your book, you talk about the importance of accountability. And I feel like there are right ways and wrong ways to do accountability. And I think when you think of the wrong way to do it, it's the people who are around you. Maybe they're the wrong crowd, or the way you're keeping yourself accountable may not be the best way. So I'm wondering, how exactly can we build our accountability the right way, in a sense where, like, there's a bigger presence of accountability in our lives?
100%. And you know, one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs realize is, you know, after they've taken their launch and they've leaped and they're on their own or launched their side hustle, whatever it may be, they start to recognize, and I've seen this so many times, that they're not that good at being their own boss. Meaning, like, there's a reason why they used to have to go to an office and attend meetings and drive a car into a corporate structure, because, like, that's built in accountability. You actually have to show up. You have to get dressed. You have to report to someone. You got coworkers. All of that stuff is designed for you to get work done. Now you get rid of all of that stuff, and people are like, wow, I get all this free time. I'm going to create an empire. And then they realize they don't, because they have no self-accountability. Like, there's no standards. And so what I teach people to do is, just like you said, there's a bunch of different types of accountability. That self-accountability, to me, just comes down to having clarity around what you want, where you're going, but also clarity around your commitment to that. And I call this the commitment expectation gap. So let's say my expectation is to make $10,000 a month in my business. I just left my normal job. And so $10,000 a month, that's my commitment. Well, I need to examine that's my expectation. So if that's my expectation, let's just call that a level 10 expectation. For somebody, $10,000 a month, let's just say that's their level 10. Damn, that would be amazing. So I'm like, great. So let's examine the commitments. What does that look like? So we start to take inventory of what it would look like. What are the commitments that we would have to create that match a level 10 expectation? Because so often there's a gap. We have a level 10 expectation, $10,000 a month, but we look at our commitments, we're unfocused, 3 days out of the week, we're barely getting anything done. We get a level 3 commitment. And within there lies that gap. So that's one, having the self-awareness to know your strengths, know your weaknesses. And the reason I like eradicate myself from my home environment is because I know my weaknesses. I know I will get distracted. So that's number one, closing the expectation and commitment gap. Number two is, just like you said, surrounding yourself with people that make it non-negotiable, or at least respect you enough to challenge you. So, when I declare my outcomes, let's just say this book, for example, that I'm going to write this book, I'm very specific with who I tell that to. I'm going to tell it to people that I trust, that I respect, who are doing big things, and who also are going to call me out if they don't see progress. And they're going to, every time they see me, they're going to be, Tommy, where are you at with the book? How can I help? Et cetera, et cetera. And that accountability just forces me to level up and get so much more done. And so if you're hanging around people that aren't respecting you enough to challenge you, because the common thing is, you know, let's hang around people that are going to pat us on the back and say, they buy into our excuses. And so that's me. I don't consider that a powerful relationship for me. I don't want people to buy into my excuses, you know, why I didn't finish the book, why I'm, you know, put it off for another time. I want people to say, dude, you said you were going to do this. When are you going to get it done? And I'm like, Okay, I can make that happen. And so often though, when people are building these networks, they don't know where to start. And so I actually start at deletion. And it might sound intense, but deletion just means there's usually a relationship or two that we're holding on to for no good reason. Like nobody's adding value to it. I actually did this recently. I had a college friend who was in my text world. I haven't seen this person in years. And we were texting about nothing. Like it was no value. And so I consciously decided, you know what? I'm not giving him value. He's not giving me value. Let me create some space and take this out of my plate mentally, physically, emotionally, all that stuff. For some people actually come in who are going to take that space and support me in a bigger way. So that's where I would start someone. One, self-accountability, take inventory of your expectations and your commitments, have clarity around where you're going, and then hold yourself to a higher standard. And two, make sure you're rolling with a tribe that is inspiring you. And if you can't find your tribe, go to an event, reach out to people who you listen on this podcast, join a virtual program, do something to put you in rooms where people are having these conversations, and that's going to force you to level up.
Tom, I really like that idea of building the accountability from a self point and also from a group point as well. And if you're listening to this and you don't have that group, I recently created the Breakthrough Success Facebook group, which has a bunch of listeners, the past guests from the show, which you can post your goals in there and make yourself accountable. So we will throw the link to that in the show notes of this episode. And one of the things I want to ask you, Tommy, is that when we have this like idea, like we talked about the hype, we talked about how like you have this big idea, vanishes in 6 months, the 1% rule, like getting better 1% each day is what helps us to actually turn those hyped ideas into reality. But what do you believe holds most people back from being able to continuously improve themselves every single day?
Yeah, you know what comes to mind, the biggest thing that comes to mind is how we leverage time and whether we have it work for us or against us. So really the 1% rule is just an easy way to create momentum. Way too many people are relying on motivation. They need to get hyped up in the morning on, Gary Vee videos and Tony Robbins, and I love all those guys, but if you have momentum in your life, you don't need to get hyped up on motivation. You simply just execute no matter what. So that's number one. Like, harness the power of momentum. The worst thing that I hear, and I used to be the person who did this all the time, but start, stop, get hyped up, stop, start. Because when we do that, we really lose the belief that it's possible for us. And when that belief is gone, then of course we're not going to execute long term. Of course we're going to, launch the webinar and two people are going to show up and one of them is a family member and we're never going to try it again. But if we're willing to show up the next day and show up the next day, then ultimately, there's two people we have to convince, Mark. We got to convince ourselves and we got to convince the marketplace, right? And so if we don't endure, if we're not consistent, we won't convince ourselves. I always tell people, like your podcast is, and you have your content marketing secrets. I always say, go long enough until you fall in love with your own content. People say, like, I laugh. People say, I'll tell them, hey, go listen to your podcast again and let me know what you thought. And they'll be like, I can't listen to my podcast. I cringe when I listen to my podcast. I'm like, dude, that's your problem right there. If you're cringing at your own content, that means you haven't sold yourself. You haven't convinced yourself. You haven't acknowledge the value that you deliver enough to actually sit through your content. And in the second person you have to convince is just the marketplace at large. And in a world with no walls to distribution, now that everybody can get online, yes, there's never been more opportunity, but the marketplace won't take you seriously until they see you over and over and over. And they know that this person didn't just launch a podcast because it was cool and it was, part of the, it was they're in the wave. No, they know that Mark's been doing 267 episodes and the average podcast lasts 8 episodes. And so the marketplace takes Mark seriously because he's been in the game for that long and he's committed. And dude, when you marry those two worlds, when you can sell yourself and then sell the marketplace, you become unstoppable.
And I mean, Tommy hit on a really key point there, just being in front of everyone. And I mean, with the podcast, 267 episodes, like the blogging. There's like so many different mediums we can use to reach people. It's just a matter of tapping into as many of those as possible in order to reach our audience. And for some people, reaching their audience and growing their audience are some of the challenges that they face in their businesses. And with challenges in mind, Tommy, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge that you have faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
100%, man. So one challenge that I faced was during my entrepreneurial career. I had built a business in the health and fitness space. We had brick and mortar gyms. We had an online training program. And I woke up one day and I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. And really what had happened, Mark, was that I had outgrown the vehicle that was my purpose at that point. Meaning, you know, for me, health and fitness and wellness, it wasn't about the reps and the sets and the prescriptions and the diet. It was all about, I was just fascinated by, why do some people see results on the same exact program and almost the same exact background, age, demographics, psychographics? And why do these same exact people on the same program, they can't get, they're spinning their wheels. And that led me down what my new passion was, which was really just human behavior, psychology, neuroscience, long-term habitual change, transformational experiences, in-person events, all of that stuff. And so, but there was a challenge because, you know, I had told everybody this was my dream and I had built this business and now it was unfulfilling me. And that was a really hard moment. And for entrepreneurs, one of the hardest things to do is to pivot, especially with what you were doing is it was working. It's easy to pivot when you launch and nothing works and you can just say, hey, the marketplace wasn't ready. I wasn't ready, whatever. I'm just going to pivot. It's hard to pivot when things have been working. And so that for me, getting honest with myself about where I saw myself in 5 years, and it was definitely not in the fitness industry. And then going through the uncomfortable process of moving on from that business and all that entailed, to start new, to start fresh, to serve the people that I wanted to serve, which are now exclusively entrepreneurs. That was both painful and beautiful and rewarding at the same time, but a big challenge. And if you're out there and what you're doing right now isn't lighting you up, and by lighting you up, it doesn't mean that you're going to be on fire every single day. What it means is that if it's not fulfilling you on a deep level and you can't see yourself doing the same thing in 5 years, I would ask yourself, why is that? And is there a way that you could get into more alignment today? And that doesn't mean that we're always going to be 100% in alignment, but the closer that we can be in alignment, you know, our clients, the community, when we create content, when we write a blog, people can feel that stuff, especially in 2018. With all the content out there, people know when you're in alignment. People know when you're, you know, deeply purposeful about what you do. That stuff really matters. And so in a nutshell, don't be afraid to ask the tough questions and find answers to those questions within yourself first and then from people you trust.
And I mean, when we talk about pivots, it's usually a pivot from like a 9 to 5 to being an entrepreneur, but I've never really heard of it where like it's a pivot where like it's something that's working, it's something that you enjoy, but it's not where you want to continue to be. It's like you, as you mentioned, wanted to serve entrepreneurs. So that's a very interesting kind of pivot for us to make. So not everyone may be in that situation, but if you are thinking about making a pivot, start thinking about like some of the things you can do to get closer to making that complete pivot. You don't like quit your job and right away and then go right into it being an entrepreneur. I mean, some people do that, but like it's a little risky if you do that. It's all based on risk tolerance, but it's something that you should be thinking about. And if you want to take any kind of pivot, you'll want to gain as much knowledge as possible in the area that you're trying to pivot to. And one of my favorite ways of learning is by reading as many books as possible. And Tommy, I'm wondering if you could share with us 3 books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love what you said about knowledge and skill acquisition, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. So one of my favorite books of just being your best self, no matter what you do, even if you're at a job that you don't like, is Linchpin by Seth Godin. Just that mindset of being the best in the world at what you do, even if you're literally doing groceries, like people will notice you. An entrepreneur will be checking out. They will see your energy and they'll say, hey, come work with me. I have an admin position ready to go. So that would be one of them. And this is such a hard question for me because, like, if you walk into my place, there's literally probably 1,000 books just all over the place. So it's kind of intense. And my fiance thinks I'm kind of crazy with my Amazon orders. But that's that. The next one would be start with why. And the reason is because, you know, for me, when the Simon Sinek, when the why and the what are powerful and the what is the vision, the how starts to reveal itself. I've always believed that. So that would be number two. And then number three, this is tough. Trying to think. Okay. So let's see. I read a great one recently. I'll do a recent one, and it is called Motivation is a Myth. I might have gotten that mixed up, or The Myth of Motivation. Basically, he's a writer for Entrepreneur Magazine, and he argues that basically some of the stuff that I said, that motivation is not what we should be chasing, but we should create systems to ensure that our results come into play. So Linchpin to become your, like, to be a rock star in everything that you do. That would be number one. Start with Why by Simon Sinek to really deepen why you're doing something in the first place. Too many entrepreneurs start businesses for the wrong reasons. And then number three, The Motivation Myth by Jeff something. Those would be the three that come up right now.
Tommy, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, markbirdie.com/E267. And if you guys want a book that will help you launch, grow, and monetize your podcast, you can grab your copy of Podcast Domination over at markgaberti.com/PD. And before we wrap up this episode, Tommy, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I would say, what am I resisting most right now? And why? And I found that the things in life and business that we resist are often some of the most powerful. And so if we can ask that question and find out what is that thing that we're resisting and why, and maybe that's just having a tough conversation with someone that we haven't had. Maybe it's getting honest with ourselves about where we're at and why we haven't moved forward. Maybe it's pitching our idea to someone and we've been scared to do it. There's gold in the stuff that we resist. And that's the question I would ask.
Tommy, thank you for sharing with us that great question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Tommy, get his book, The 1% Rule. And Tommy, in addition to The 1% Rule, where else can we find you?
Absolutely, man. Anyone that listens to this would definitely enjoy what we do over at the Resist Average Academy podcast. And much like this, we deep dive into conversations with, we really go vertical in conversations about, you know, how to maximize this experience and what are some of the principles and tools and mindsets and strategies to create a life that we're, you know, to me, the marker of success is a life that we're excited about. And I believe we are all capable of creating that. And so if that resonates, check out the Resist Average Academy podcast.
Tommy, thank you for sharing with us your podcast and for sharing all of your great insights with us. That podcast will also be in the show notes. But Tommy, I mean, thank you for coming on the show. You shared a lot of great insights with us. And just thank you for being on Breakthrough Success.
You're doing big things, and anyone listening to you is gonna make some major shifts in their life and business. So keep rocking.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn